Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good day, Canada. And good morning to you beautiful Western Canadians. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Let's get it going.
Yeah.
The market is almost open in CFL Free Agency episode 175. Thank you for waiting. We're a little late going to air. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. Coming up on our free agency special today, Nick Lewis, Henry Burris, Eddie Steele, a little sideways sojourn. Wendell Clark will be joining us in hour two. And as we jump right out of the gate here, we've got TSN's Farhan Lalji. As we've got news here on this CFL free agency opening, Farhan Lalji joining us today from the West Coast. He's been breaking all the stories. Good morning, Farhan. Thanks for joining us today on it's like Christmas for CFL fans. Have you noticed?
Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure being on with you. You know, I dressed up for the occasion, so anytime I can talk to you, you know, it's a good deal.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate you sneaking us in because it is such a busy day. You've been breaking all the stories. James Franklin to the Riders, Solomon Alamimian to the Riders, and I got to be honest with you. Let's just start for our Rider viewers. It's been a pretty good few days for green and white fans.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And as far as Solomon Alamimian is concerned, I think this is a good deal for both sides because he provides some consistency to that defense. And a year ago, when you look at the situation, they were able to bring him in very late in the process. You know, I thought it was a pretty good deal for Solomon to get given that stage. And when he came into the year, it wasn't necessarily a good situation for him because he spent so much of the offseason dealing with the CBA negotiations. It affected his ability to prepare, came in, had an injury right at the start of camp and missed the first basically the month of the season. When he got going, he was pretty good. And there was a time about a week and a half ago where it looked like it wasn't going to work out for him to come back. He explored the market. There was some other interest. He had to take a bit of a pay cut given the fact that he's now 33 years old, but I think he's going to be able to prepare, hit the ground running healthy, and be able to give one pretty good year. And when you look at the expectation that Micah Johnson's going to be on the move, you know, that's going to put even more of a premium on Solomon, because when Johnson is eating up all those double teams, it allows Mike or a guy like Solomon to roam free a little bit. So that part's going to get a little harder, but just the knowledge of Jason Shiver's defense and the experience he has is going to be invaluable for that team right now.
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that you broke the story. You and Saul are close. How close was he to leaving, going to other CFL teams? Because fans here were pretty nervous that they were going to have to replace this linebacker group.
Yeah, you know, I think there was some meaningful dialogue with a number of other teams. Edmonton was in that mix. Hamilton, Ottawa a little bit. There was a bit of a pull to Ottawa because of Mike Benavides, who Solomon had so many good seasons with in BC. But at the end of the day, Ottawa doesn't necessarily dive into the pool big with a lot of free agents, so they didn't necessarily want to go there. You know, my understanding is Edmonton wanted to get a little younger, and I'm not sure Solomon himself was comfortable with that situation. So when all the factors added up and our Saskatchewan stepped up with a little more money over the course of the last few days, I think it made a lot of sense for him to stay in Saskatchewan. And look, he loves Rider Nation. I think it was a great experience for him, and it's kind of one of these things. You know, you talk to baseball players, and so many of them at some point want to play for the New York Yankees. And football players feel that way in the Canadian Football League about Saskatchewan.
Hey, lastly, Farhan, I don't want your arms to get tired just on free agency here. With the one-year contracts and so forth, I think it's hella exciting. I like where the CFL is with that. There's a lot of people complaining about it, but it's made today and the days leading up to today very exciting.
Yeah, it's true, right? I mean, you talk about it now, and then you complain about it once the season starts and you don't have that fan continuity. But, you know, the true fans get pretty excited about who could potentially be joining their team, despite the fact you might lose a few. But I will tell you this, one trend we're seeing this year relative to last year, there's been a few two-year deals. Jonathan Mincy's deal with Edmonton, two-year deal. Dylan Wynn got a couple years in Hamilton. So when you look at a number of things that are happening, there are a few more deals. If you're under 30 years of age, I think you're more inclined this year than in years past to get a two-year deal. And many complain about it and say, look, there's no protection for the players because ultimately it's still a one-year deal. But I think when you talk to agents, teams find it harder to cut guys on a two-year deal, because now they've got a decision to make. And if an agent can negotiate a higher number for year two, even if you get asked to take a pay cut, you still wind up making close to what you made in year one. So that might be a trend for players under 30 going forward.
Farhan, you're killing it. I appreciate the time. Our viewers are saying, can you do all interviews from the locker room from here on? They love it. Thanks for this, and enjoy the rest of the day.
All right, take care, guys.
TSN's Farhan Lalji joining us from the Lions locker room, as you can see, in Vancouver. Now, Darren DuPont's here. Hi, Dupes.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
After all of our hearts nearly stopped, and thank you to our tech boys for getting us on the air here, because I was starting to worry that we wouldn't. It is our free agent frenzy. All this means is that we're going to just go a little longer, which I think everybody's fine with. We've got a lot of viewers here across the land checking in from all across the country, and this is going to be a blur. I've got my Elite Eight show topics, okay, so I'm going to be getting to those. I didn't even know that the Hamilton Tiger Cats had re-signed Dylan Wynn until Farhan said it. Now I got notifications going off on my phone. The last I saw, the Riders had yet to announce the signings of James Franklin and Solomon Elamimian. In the last 12 hours, Farhan's broke those stories. I'm just kind of rambling here, sorry, because no. We were late getting on, and it is free agent frenzy. Shoot, free agency hasn't even opened yet. We still got close to another 20 minutes until it's actively the market opens, but it's been wild. And I'll say it again. I like the excitement that we've had here.
Well, there's definitely excitement, and there's no doubt about that. I mean, we were all on, watching where Willie Jefferson would sign, and that news came out yesterday. Farhan broke that one, too,
yeah.
With Willie Jefferson re-signing in Winnipeg. And as we all watch Holly Jefferson's account, she says, we're home, or whatever, right where we need to be, back home. So Winnipeg is home for them, so that's exciting. But you're right, there's been so much news coming fast and furious already this morning. And it's not even 11 Central. I can only imagine what's going to happen once the bell rings.
We can handle it.
Oh, yeah.
But we just need to slow things down, slow the roll. We've got our viewers chiming in from all over the globe. Mike Lee checks in from Maui. He says, aloha. I'm absolutely fine with you guys going longer. So we will be. We sat here yesterday, kind of kicked around how we were going to handle this free agency frenzy, and I think we got some awesome guests in Farhan Lalji, Nick Lewis, Henry Burris, and Eddie Steele. But I also said, I'm okay with just sitting here, and you in the bunker, and us reading questions off from the viewers.
Oh, yeah.
And answering them as well as we can.
Yep.
So our Elite Eight show topics that I'm getting to a little later than normal, but we're getting to them. Number one, the Riders signed James Franklin. Thumbs up or thumbs down. We'll be spending a lot of time on that today. Number two, which quarterback goes? Brian Bennett had a role with the Riders last year, as did Isaac Harker. One of them's got to go. Number three, is chemistry going to be an issue for this football club? Clearly, Jeremy O'Day knows what he's doing. He knows what's going on in that locker room far better than I do. But chemistry is a thing. And that rolls into point four. Where does Naaman Roosevelt land? Looks like he's going to be playing in 2020. Although the Riders are moving on from him for whatever the reasons are. Age, cost, that's usually what they are. We're hearing that he's talking with the Stampeders. We're hearing he's talking with the Blue Bombers and the Eskimos. Naaman Roosevelt is going to be in the West Division. And frankly, I'm one of those fans that's very upset to see Naaman Roosevelt going, because he's been through all the ups and downs. And I would suggest he'd probably take less to stay here. I also know the Riders have a glut of American receivers. I get that. Just sad to see him go. But Jeremy O'Day is not a guy that's going to be attached to players. Point five, Marcus Thigpen. Signing with the Argos yesterday. How much gas does he have left in the tank? I'd suggest a lot, Darren. I would. Point six, we kind of covered this already. One-year contracts. I like him. I'm sorry. I continue to see fans. I see media. I see team personnel tweeting that they hate one-year contracts and the merry-go-round. Well, you know what? Don't blame the players. Do not blame the players. You can the teams can look in the mirror for the lack of loyalty for why players don't feel attached to any one franchise. Sorry, it's the way it is. Point seven of our Elite Eight show topics. Let's evaluate Jeremy O'Day. He's got his guys. He's got his hosses in the stable. Elamimian now. Who's he yelling at over here?
I'm not sure.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
He's got his guys. He's got Elamimi, and he's now got James Franklin. He's got Cameron Judge. Jeremy Day continues to just swing for the fences and put the ball in the stands. I'm sorry. Whether you like him or you don't, I don't see what I've got written here. Any mistakes? Question mark. I don't see any mistakes this guy's made.
Yeah, I don't either.
The only one maybe is overpaying for Micah Johnson last year, but even at the time, it would be hard to say that that was a mistake at the time. And then eight, the quarterbacks that are left out there, Dakota Prukop, Montel Cotsart, who does not even sound like a football player, if I'm going to be honest with you, Brandon Bridge and Jonathan Jennings. That's our Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question. Which of those four is the top quarterback of the four? I'll say it again. Dakota Prukop, Montel Cotsart, Brandon Bridge, or Jonathan Jennings? Last I looked on Twitter, 55% of you voted for Jonathan Jennings. He's the most attractive of those four. But I did see somewhere on a Facebook page or message board or something the other day that people saying maybe the Riders will go after Jonathan Jennings. Nope. Not with Jeremy O'Day in control. He's had opportunities to sign Jonathan Jennings and passed every time. But James Franklin is an interesting opportunity for this football club, which we're told the Riders have signed him to a one-year deal. So those are our Elite Eight show topics here in our CFL Free Agency Frenzy Day. And again, upcoming, Nick Lewis, Henry Burris, and Eddie Steele. And a big hello to everybody at Wendell Clark's, who they've already written in. Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon, Classic Bar and Grill. They got a watch party going on there. They got the doors open. And Wendell will be with us at 11:30 a.m. Central. Okay, that's a lot of me talking. So over to you with any of those topics.
You talked about the quarterbacks. I wondered what Dominic Davis's contract situation was and his status in Ottawa. But I think he's under contract. So, you know, he'll serve as Nick Arbuckle's backup, I'm sure. Or they'll battle a little bit for that job, but I'm sure that's Arbuckle's to lose. The Franklin deal, I know you brought that up. I don't know where I sit on it. The report is that it comes in at $100,000 of guaranteed money. And it's unfortunate we don't really know all of the cap numbers. Now, a lot of the contracts are reported. If somebody's real slick, they could put that in a spreadsheet and start to add them all up and figure out roughly where the Riders are, but you really don't know because the official cap numbers aren't available and the salaries aren't available to be seen. So we can only go by reports, but at 100K, I don't mind it. James Franklin does have a good history with Jason Moss. That's where he had his success in behind Mike Riley. But you're right. I mean, Bennett had a role. We all like Isaac Harker, and we think he can be a really good, you know, future prospect for this team. We don't want to give up on him. So where does the depth chart fall down? Who becomes number two? I mean, Isaac Harker came in, as you mentioned yesterday on the program, and won that all-important game to get Riders a home field playoff game. That was big. So I don't know where James Franklin fits in, but I don't dislike the signing.
I'll say it again. This is the rollout for Flooring Superstores. It's not just going to be us yapping and our guests. I want to bring in the viewers. James Hamilton's watching. He writes in. He says, I suspect Moz wanted Franklin here. And that's possible. But if you look at the career bios or Wikipedia page, if you will, Jason Moz's and James Franklin's don't really line up for being in Edmonton. While Moz was in Edmonton, Franklin was in Toronto for the most part. And I don't know really who found James Franklin in Edmonton, whether it was Chris Jones or Ed Hervey. There's been some conjecture over there. But I'm not saying Moz didn't want James Franklin. Maybe he did. We don't know the story behind that. And when they introduce James Franklin, we probably will find out the answer to that question. I've been going around and around in my head the last couple of days on, is James Franklin necessary for what you've exactly said? I mean, I've talked to Paul LaPolice about Brian Bennett and how great he is for glue of a locker room, Brian Bennett. So they like him. He's played on special teams. He's done short yardage for the Riders, did a great job. Isaac Harker might be the future. Now, the future is not for a long time. Cody Fajardo's under contract for 4 years. But where does James Franklin fit in? I've been doing a lot of reading over the last 12 to 14 hours. Believe it or not, it's what I do when I leave here. And Justin Dunk reported that Franklin, the last 2 years in Toronto, has made $250,000 and $272,000. So for him to come here to Saskatchewan for 100-ish, which is what's being reported, that's a major steal for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So as Bobby Vespasiani used to say, the Riders' assistant GM, former head coach of the Stampeders, he was a little Italian man from Massachusetts. He would say, better is better. And I never forgot that. So James Franklin, no matter who he is and what you're paying him, he's better. He's got more experience than Isaac Carker, and he's a better quarterback than Brian Bennett. And Jeremy O'Day's job is to make this team better. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah, you got me believing. I mean, I agree with it. Maybe it's the Italian. I like the Italian. It's
better is better.
Better is better. I think, you know what? I'm in. Why not?
Sold you on it?
You just sold me on it. And, I mean, you're going to have a quarterback on the practice roster, likely, potentially. And Harker is a number three, still young, still can come in. And maybe Franklin, but who knows? Maybe Harker wins the job in training camp. Maybe Franklin wins the job in camp. Who knows? The number two job. I don't think anybody's challenging Cody Fajardo to be the starting quarterback of this football team. But you're right. I mean, $100,000, that's a steal when you look at what he's made. And probably, I'm sure there was some offers on the table for James Franklin. Yeah, I'm interested to see where it plays out. That's for sure. There's no holes there when it comes to the Riders' quarterbacking situation.
Nelson Hakowicz writes in. He says, you don't drop $100K on a guy and put him in the number three spot. Maybe you do. This is all different now. Brent Coleman writes in. He says, I thought Fajardo's only signed for 2 more years. Hey, Brent, Google it. It was a 4-year extension they announced it last fall. Trent in Norway writes in, getting his CFL fix today on our Free Agent Frenzy show. He says, Norway here, surprised with the Franklin signing. Harker is the future, I think. I love Elamimian's return. Sad to see Roosevelt go. Let's see what happens. Jason Bisek in Red Deer writes in and says, report from Davis Sanchez, Chris Rainey is headed back to the BC Lions. So breaking news there. You knew that it was just going to be insane today. It's going to be insane.
Oh, yeah.
A lot to keep up with. Scotty Clark writing in from Grand Prairie, Alberta. He says, Franklin to Saskatchewan is a great match for both parties. Franklin has the ability, and this gives him an opportunity to reset. I couldn't agree more. It's a nice change of scenery for James Franklin. The question is, who goes? Because they're not going to keep four quarterbacks. Not of this veteran status. They're all vets. And is chemistry going to be an issue? That's something that we can't specifically answer because we haven't been in that locker room. But it's certainly something we can talk about and speculate on. Mm-hmm. How much of a leader was Naaman Roosevelt and some of these guys that are going to be not part of the Riders in 2020?
Yeah. I think, you know, that's going to be very interesting. But Jeremy O'Day, as you mentioned, he's done a good job. We talked about bringing back the group that went 13-5. You look at that group, it's a good football team. You just have to re-sign your players, bring your guys back, and this team should be able to continue to move forward. You mentioned number two when it comes to Grey Cup odds as of yesterday, behind Hamilton, top team in the West. And they did a really good job. Yeah, you lost Derek Moncrief, but you brought back Solomon Elamimian, you brought back Cameron Judge, and you replaced Moncrief with Otha Foster. Now, I know everybody's really excited. They think this is a really great free agent group or a linebacking group now. Otha, I don't know that he's the linebacker he was 3 years ago. Or 2 years ago, even. I don't believe he played anywhere last year. So you have to assume that there's going to be a little bit of drop-off. But bringing him back, I know he's going to be a fan favorite instantly. There's just now, what, one hole in the defensive line to fill with Micah Johnson gone? And that entire defense is back. So, yeah, Jeremy O'Day's done a really solid job. And we're still, what, 4 or 5 minutes away from free agency opening.
Just reading some comments from the viewers today. Thank you, Steven Sparksman, for reporting that Ronnie Pfeffer is the new Stampeders punter. And that is courtesy the Stampeders beat writer Danny Austin from the Calgary Sun. Jason Wall, he's a Bomber fan, writes in. He says, I'm getting my CFL fix from San Jose del Cabo. Go CFL Free Agency Day. Well, thank you, Jason. The Bombers have got all their work out of the way.
I love when people put emojis in their comments. I love
emojis.
They show up on the wall, the palm tree, the sun, the blue and the bomb there for the Blue Bombers. That's pretty cool.
Ron Taylor writes in. He says, Ron and Deb in Costa Rica. I think Harker has a little Lancaster in him. Franklin's better than Bennett. Glad to see Solly. We still need a D-line stud, perhaps Cleon Lang. Well, Cleon, which, by the way, I love the name Cleon, has signed with the Ottawa Redblacks this morning.
Yes.
So keep it here because we've got all the coverage. From John Hodge, I've just seen on Twitter, he from Three Down Nation writes, linebacker Chris Ackey has requested and been granted his release by the Montreal Alouettes. The 28-year-old is one of the top national free agents available. And that came out this morning. Chris Ackey asking for his release from the Alouettes because I believe he was under contract for 2020. I don't get this new CFL. I'm not saying I don't like it. But players asking for their request, their release all over the place and getting it. I'm wondering how many are asking for it and not getting it.
Yeah.
I bet you that's going on a lot, too. We just don't hear about it.
Sure.
Well, Nick Lewis is in the facility, and he'll join us in the next segment. It is the Rod Peterson Show. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstores, and we'll be right back on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Supercrew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. 4x4s are starting as low as $25,999 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's 2019 number one Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Tuesday morning to our CFL Free Agent Frenzy Spectacular. Breaking news even through the break, and we'll get to that in a moment. Amanda Ruler writes in, who is no stranger to this show. I don't know what to say about her other than roving reporter, freelance badass, whatever. Amanda just wrote in and said, hey, guys, okay, hate me, everyone, but I don't like the Franklin signing. Hang on, we'll get to that. A sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Matthew Tkachuk scored a highlight reel goal in the third period to help the Flames beat the Sharks 6-2 in San Jose last night. Milan Lucic and Tobias Reeder scored in a span of 34 seconds early in the first period. Vancouver Canucks' four-game losing streak is over. Jacob Markstrom made 36 saves, and Elias Pettersson and JT Miller had a goal and a helper each as Vancouver beat Nashville 6-2 to open Sedin Week. The Montreal Canadiens had their win streak snapped at 3. Coyotes defenseman Jacob Chychrun scored in the game's final minute as Arizona completed a comeback from 2 goals down to beat the Habs 3-2 in Montreal. And a new Canadian sports record for the Raptors. They downed the visiting Timberwolves 137-126 to win their 15th consecutive game, setting a new mark for the longest single-season win streak by a major Canadian-based pro team. The Calgary Stampeders had won 14 straight back in 2016. I didn't even know that was a record. And now the Raptors have it now. That is the sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Oh, it was just a two-year deal. Thank you, Clark, on the Cody Fajardo thing. You signed a two-year deal for $450,000. My bad. Sorry, Brent. For lashing out at you. Either way, Fajardo's under contract. It should be 4 years. We welcome Nick Lewis to the bunker on what's been wild, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. It has not been boring the last 24, 48, 72 hours.
No, it's been good. A lot of action going on. You know, a lot of those guys, they probably wait till the last minute. They've heard what the other teams are pretty much going to offer, and now they get to make a sound decision and just stay with it, because once free agency starts, once 12 o'clock hits, they know that contract that was offered is no longer there sometimes. It might go down if they sign someone else, but it's never going up. So a lot of those guys signed at the last minute knowing that they secured their spot.
Yeah.
So it helps for the players too, you know, having that 10-day grace period.
So it's interesting. I watched the news conference with Jeremy O'Day and Craig Dickinson yesterday. He said the Riders made no formal offers to anybody during that bidding season. That doesn't really surprise me. He said what I felt was the case, that they just need to re-sign their guys, and that's kind of what they've done. That's just from a Rider perspective, because I looked at the numbers, Darren. As you know, 80% of our viewers or more are in Saskatchewan. Nick, this got to be pretty good free agency right now for the Riders, I would think.
Looks good. I mean, a lot of guys are signing back to their team. So to be able to get your own guys back, you know what to expect. You know what type of people they are. And something that Calgary always understood was when you're building a culture, the guys in the building know the culture. Bringing in other guys from other teams can sometimes affect that culture that you're trying to build. So to keep more of the guys there helps create that culture that they want. And then the younger guys that come in, they just buy into the culture that's there.
I am with you.
Yeah.
Now, well, that's the one thing with Naaman Roosevelt being gone from the Saskatchewan Roughriders. You're a receiver. I got to think that comes down to age and money. But that report came out late last week. People are still talking about it. They love Naaman around here.
Oh, of course. You should. I mean, I was there a couple years ago when I was guest coaching with the Riders, and to see Naaman and what he does for that group. I mean, you had guys like Bakari, Chad Owens, Naaman Roosevelt, and Rob Bagg helping Jordan and Shaq Evans and Swerve. So when you have those vets helping the young guys, and you have that sound piece, and now you have Manny Arsenault, so that gives those young guys the ability to go out and just play free and have fun. They don't have to take the pressure. But now with Naaman gone, it's going to be on Shaq to be able to step up and make plays consistently, and Jordan to do the same thing, and the rest of those young guys. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Cruel, cruel business, because Naaman was so important to this team from 2015 through 2019. Seems like longer than that, but it's the way it is. And they're moving on without Naaman Roosevelt. John Bolke writes in on the Facebook wall. He says, Big Nick, always like listening to you. You should be on the Rider coaching staff. From Jason Bysick in Red Deer, he says, Hey, Nick, one of the best stamps ever. So we do have a lot of Stampeders fans tuning in today. By the way, coming up bottom of the hour, Wendell Clark will be joining us live from Toronto. And the watch party is on at Wendell Clark's right now. The doors are open, so yes. Hello to everybody at Wendell Clark's. Doyle, Gary, Byron, the whole crew. Have some fish and chips for me. Wendell coming up at the bottom of the hour. And Darren, you jump in anytime when you want, but I just got to get your take, Nick, on what I think is one of the biggest signings here in free agency, and that is James Franklin to the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Well, it's always valuable to have two quarterbacks, and quarterback's an interesting position. Because when you're the backup, you're like the most favorite person on the team, especially when the starter's not doing well. I think they upgraded with the backup quarterback in James Franklin. He does have the tools to be successful. It's just, what are you asking him to do? And I will tell you, Jacques Chapdelaine's system is one of the hardest systems to learn and one of the hardest systems to produce. And I see somebody talks about SJ. I talked to SJ. I talked to Darrell Walker. I talked to all those guys last year in Toronto. And it does affect what free agency does now, right? So don't just look at him, what he did last year. Try to base it off of what he can do in a proper system. Well, I won't say proper system. Jock's system has worked. But in a system like Moss's that will allow him to get the ball out of his hands. And when you look at the receivers, Shaq makes plays after the catch. Swerve makes plays after the catch. Jordan does the same thing. So he doesn't have to throw the ball down the field. He can throw it 4 or 5 yards and get 10. So I think those types of things, and once you're running back, it's going to help you get the ball out of his hands, put it in the receiver's hands or the running back's hands, and let them make plays.
I like it. I like it a lot, too, yeah. Sometimes it's situation, right? Situation can create success, and if you're in a situation that's not good, then obviously the success isn't there. But we know the kid's had success. He had lots of success in Edmonton, and now it's just, you know, give him a fresh start, new system, new place, new environment. And now if he doesn't have success again, then maybe he's not going to be able to get it. But I like it. I don't think it's too expensive. I think it's perfect.
I wonder, again, where he slots in. Initially, I thought the Riders were really happy with the quarterbacks they had, and I believe that they were. Fajardo, Isaac Harker, and Brian Bennett. But as I said earlier, to quote Bobby Vespasiani, and you must have been around Bobby V, Nick, in your time, better's better, and James Franklin probably is better. I'm thinking a lot about the Argo thing and why it didn't work there. I understand the chaps part of it, but he was with Trestman the year before, and that didn't work either. And Mark's supposed to be the quarterback whisperer, but who knows? Maybe we'll have a chance to visit with James Franklin when he gets to town. He was a regular at Famoso downtown, my restaurant. Yeah. Every CFL team came through there, by the way. That's where I got to meet most of these guys. I'd love to hear James Franklin's side of why it didn't work in Toronto, although he'll probably tell the media once he gets here. But yeah, I think it's a good signing for the Rough Riders. You just wonder who's the odd man out. Maybe it is Brian Bennett.
Why is Mark the quarterback whisperer?
I'm not saying that I know that. He's known as the quarterback whisperer.
Like, I love Mark. I think he's a great coach, and he does things. But if you look, he's only won with 2 quarterbacks.
Ricky AC Ray and Ricky Ray.
Yeah.
2 Hall of Fame.
In this league, I mean, he's been to Super Bowls in the league as well. Bernie Kosar, they had some good years together. They say that he mentored Steve Young in San Francisco.
Oh, he's definitely a great coach. But, yeah, you know, when you talk about quarterback whispers, I think of Huff.
Right.
But
that's interesting.
You know,
he's always had good quarterbacks roll through Calgary. I'm trying to think of the last time that they didn't, that they had a drop-off and they were in need of a quarterback. Yeah, it's been a while. Sometimes, though, I think it's about getting a guy that fits your system, right? If you have the quarterbacks who fit your style, then you're going to have success, right? I mean, Anthony Calvillo, Ricky Ray, they're a little bit similar, right, in the way they played the game, right? And they had nice touch on the football. They threw catchable balls. They maybe played a game that Mark Trestman liked to coach. Can a coach adapt to different quarterbacks with different styles? That, to me, would say quarterback whisperer. But Steve, if you said, you know, Steve Young, he ran a little
bit. Well, if Mark Trestman is the quarterback whisperer, he'd better start whispering in Tampa Bay because, man, they look bad on Sunday, Nick, as you know. From Jason in Red Deer again, he's all over this. Justin Tuggle and Anthony Covington have agreed to terms with the Eskimos. That's from Farhan Lalji on Twitter. Oh my God, this is Farhan's phone. He's just breaking everything, man.
Farhan
Lalji, and he was with us earlier on in this program. I guess we're still technically in hour one. Farhan Lalji giving his thoughts on what the Rough Riders have done in free agency. Dan Ukrainitz writing in. Hello, Dan. Good to hear from you. He says, I'm curious to hear Nick's thoughts about S.J. Green's XFL opportunity and if he's talked to him. S.J. got released by the Argos Friday, asked for his release, signed in the XFL yesterday. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I talked to S.J. on Saturday. Once he asked for his release, I reached out to him. Like I always said, S.J.'s like my little brother, so I reached out to him and just got his thoughts. What are you thinking? What are you looking forward to? And he went over everything that he's talked to with other CFL teams. And with this opportunity at hand and the opportunity to play in Tampa excited him. But I heard he got picked up by Seattle, so we'll see how that see how that works out. But it's just all about having that opportunity. You know you can still play, and SJ can make big plays. And right now the league just goes towards younger guys. And we all get to that stage. I was at that stage at one point. And the league goes to younger guys, and you have to almost conform to be that guy that really helps the younger guys get better and then make your opportunities. I remember Jim Pop told me before 2016, he goes, you know, we want you to come in and help the younger guys. You're not going to be able to make a lot of plays like you've done in the past. And that's the year I had 1,100 yards because it was, I tell them, you prepare to be the best. regardless of your role, you accept your role but prepare to be the best. And then when SJ got hurt, it allowed me to step in and do those things. So he's just at that stage right now where he's helping develop a lot of younger guys, but that doesn't come with a lot of money.
Okay, that was my next question. And by the way, we'll continue to sprinkle in free agency news as we go, but we're so happy and grateful to have Nick Lewis in the bunker here on our Free Agency Frenzy to answer some of these questions. By the way, everybody writing in about what James Franklin signed for, $115,000, $100,000, in that range. Dave Naylor reporting that. What do you got?
Yeah, he had $100,000 originally, and now he's reporting that it's actually more like $115,000 for James Franklin. So that doesn't change much for me.
So as this moves along, and by the way, coming up today, Henry Burris, Eddie Steele, and before long, Wendell Clark. We'll break first before we bring on the Leafs great. But Nick, you talk about leaving Calgary to go to Montreal and having 1,100 yards there. Obviously, it really had to hurt to leave Calgary. You're Mr. Calgary. But then you went and had some great times in Montreal. I mean, everything happens for a reason. But is it because money? Because I see Naiman not a lot different. He didn't put up necessarily the numbers that you did in Calgary. But you know what I mean. Just a heart and soul guy.
Yeah.
That gets let go. Was that, because I'm assuming with Naiman it's money. It had to be with you too.
Well, for me, it wasn't money. For me, it was the injury. It took a lot longer to come back from the injury. I played hurt a lot through 2014. I was able to start in the Grey Cup, but I had also missed 5 or 6 games that year. And being I believe at the time I was the highest paid non-quarterback on the team. So I already knew, I always said, your production, as long as it meets what, you know, you give them what you want, they'll give you what you want. And the production was matching the numbers. But at the end of 2014, I figured it was probably going to be my last game because I was injured. I didn't know if I was going to come back. And then Calgary can't expect to pay me to come back and be who I was before the injury without knowing if I could ever do that. Because the injury was so severe, they didn't think I was going to come back and play at all. And I talked to Huff, and we had great conversations about me joining the coaching staff and doing other things like that. But at the end of the day, it came down to he didn't want to make me an offer that he felt was disrespectful to me. And so I was on a retirement train, and then Jim Popp called and ended up going to Montreal.
Well, I just look at Naiman. I mean, it's not like I'm anything special. You look at, y'all saw it, have seen it. He's given everything he has since 2015 for this franchise. And then in a very big year in 2020, he's told they don't want him anymore. But it happens. And the sooner that the players realize, or anybody else that that happens to, that it's not personal, the sooner you can get over that, the sooner you can get on with your life.
Their job is to replace you every year.
Yes.
And you know that.
Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, though.
It does hurt because you at least want the opportunity to compete. You know you'll make the tough plays. You'll know you'll be more consistent than some of the guys they have. But if you look at it, Kenny Stafford, Manny Arsenault, and like Manny's along that same border right now. And you have the three young guys that I named earlier. Plus, you're going to bring in other young guys that are fresh to the league. So it's just one of those things where I want to have a training camp with preparing Jordan or somebody to play his spot. And I don't want to have to put them in there without having a full training camp at that spot. So they get more and more work with Cody and the number ones in that spot to be better during the season.
Prairie Mobile text lines open 306-840-8777. Buy now, pay later at Prairie Mobile. All smartphones are $0 every day using SaskTel Plus pricing. From Frank, he says, Google says 2 years for Fajardo, signed through to the end of 2021. I know, it's on me. It's on me. Sorry, Brent Coleman, I said 4 years. And I'm actually glad that he clarified that, because I was operating under the assumption that Cody Fajardo was under contract for 4 years. I hope they do get him signed long-term, longer than that. Dan in Saskatoon writes in, he says, the Riders signing of James Franklin will be good for the rubber chicken circuit in Saskatchewan. He's a great speaker who can hopefully make a pile of appearances. A good role for the backup quarterback. No. I don't think they signed him because he's a lot of fun at parties.
No.
I don't think.
And the public wants to hear from the starting quarterback, right? No matter how good the backup is at speaking, they just wanted to see him on the field, right? When the team's not winning, he's the most popular then. But on the speaking circuit, right, they want the starter.
Yeah. Yeah, you want the starter.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I've been to a one or two banquets around this province. They're happy with Gaynor. I'm
in
serious.
The costume or out of the costume?
Yeah, which one are we talking about?
From the anonymous texter from the 535 writes, "What's going on?" That came in at 10:04 when we were having tech issues right off the top. I'm not even going to get into explaining what went down. The matter is, the important thing is we're here now, just a little later than normal. Where are we at? Just to recap today, thank you for this, Clark. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have signed defensive back Josh Johnson. The Eskimos have signed Anthony Covington, Trumaine Washington, and Justin Tuggle. So the Edmonton Eskimos, who were fairly quiet leading into today, have been pretty busy today. Stampeders signing punter Ronnie Pfeffer. You played with Rob Maver for a long time, Nick. Were you surprised that he hung him up?
No, not surprised at all. He had a great opportunity off the field that allowed him to go and explore that. And Rob's a very smart individual, but Rob is also one of the best punters ever played in this league. And he didn't have the strongest leg, but he could kick it strong. But placement, you know, him and Paul McCallum, when it comes to placement, are the two top that I've seen in any league.
Yep.
And he took pride in that. And yeah, a great teammate. Great teammate, and wish him nothing but the best.
Mike Lee writing in from Maui, he says, is that new Gaynor or old Gaynor? They'll take any Gaynor. I think you're underestimating the value of Rough Rider speakers on the rubber chicken circuit.
Yeah.
They will take anybody.
When you say old Gaynor, it makes me think of like Unnecessary Roughness
what a
the
great
water
movie.
Boy when all the cheerleaders and the mascot were drunk over there laying on the table.
Great
like
movies.
In the old Rider years.
Your favorite football movie all time. Go.
Varsity Blues.
Mine
I'm from
is
Texas.
Necessary Roughness here. I'm glad you brought that up. Great, very underrated movie, by the way, starring Kathy Ireland and Scott Bakula. Google it.
Yeah.
What about chemistry, though, with the Naaman Roosevelt being gone? I mean, I don't think Micah Johnson was here long enough to be a big part of that. But in a year like 2020, to make these changes to your locker room, is it a factor, do you think?
No, not in the offseason. Now, if you were to bring Naaman in and release him, and I'm pretty sure that was a big part of Jordan signing back here, you're going to be a starter. He's not going to sign back here to be a backup when he can go start somewhere else. So that was a big part of it, and they had to make tough decisions. And to bring him in and cut him during training camp, now you have some issues of the locker room. Oh, man, Naaman got cut or got released, but to do it in the offseason, it lets everybody know right now what your job is, and let's move forward and let's be great.
Mick Panko writes in from Albert Park School. He says, favorite football movie, The Program. From Alan Lee, he says, Blindside. Oh, yes.
Blindside's like a fake movie, though.
It's a fake. Well, it's yeah. A true story.
I know.
It's true only got to be like 10% real to be true story, based on a true story.
Right. It's got exactly. Tim McGraw in it.
Long it's got to be good.
As long as it had a black guy in it, it was going to be based on a true story.
Who was Scott Nichols says, we are Marshall. I got to tell you a great story about We Are Marshall. Mr. Cabelas in Winnipeg says Friday Night Lights. This is going crazy. Jordan Blodgett, our camera switcher in here, director, he says Facing the Giants.
Love Facing the Giants.
John Bulkey says Remember the Titans. There's a lot of Alan Lee says Draft Day. That was very good.
Yeah, it was.
They're all very good.
Great insight on that Draft Day. Don Yanamba's about to try to pass up Kevin Glenn.
Nelson Hakowicz, thank you for that. Linebacker Don Yanamba, the president, has signed with the Ottawa Redblacks. That's what Nick's referring to, playing for every CFL team.
Twice. You know, that's Southern Arkansas. Shout out the Mule. I love Don, but it's awesome.
Terry Carrier says, any given Sunday. I am with you there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying it's the best, but I'm a big fan. I've watched it many, many times.
Yeah.
Steaming Willie Beeman. Randy Nichols is the longest yard. Which one? Burt Reynolds or Adam Sandler? This is going crazy. Chris Cooper in Southern Ontario says North Dallas 40. Scott Isbister, all the right moves with Tom Cruise. Wasn't that more of a love story?
That's like Lucas. Oh, yeah. Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
The Eskimos signing defensive back Jonathan Mincy. So Brock Sunderland has been very busy today. Don't call him.
That's a great signing.
Because he's been busy.
That's a great signing.
Mincy could be the best corner in the CFL.
Man, being with him his rookie year and seeing him in Montreal and just having that mindset, then going down to the Bears for 2 years. Unfortunately, got hurt in the first game with Toronto last year he played. But his mindset sets him apart. When you see young guys with that mindset and then be able to back it up with their physical tools, it's exciting. And I'm a huge fan of Jonathan Mincy, so I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in a full season.
On the way today, Henry Burris, Eddie Steele, and coming up next, Wendell Clark. Not immediately next, but in the next segment, Wendell Clark will be joining us live from Toronto. It's our CFL Free Agency Frenzy Special, and we'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is our CFL Free Agency Spectacular. And we'll be pausing coming up at the bottom of the hour for Wendell Clark, a man who needs no introduction. Jason Bysik in Red Deer, he is one of our insiders today. He says, quick update on Edmonton fullback Calvin McCarty, friend of the show. He says, word is he would have taken a $75,000 base. Oh, and it slipped off the screen. But, no, it's not your fault, Clark. Can you pull that up there, though? McCarty is with the Eskimos, right? Weren't you on with me, Nick, when he was on that day?
Yes.
Calvin McCarty's back in 2020.
Yes.
As far as I know. There it is. He would have taken a $75,000 base but wanted a $10,000 upfront signing bonus, and the team wouldn't give it to him. They held firm to an $85,000 base, no bonus. That from Dan Barnes of the Edmonton Journal on Twitter.
You're trying to upgrade.
How so?
No upfront money. I mean, I used to do it all the time. I used to do it in Calgary. I would take a pay cut, per se, with a big signing bonus, so more money in pocket to help the team. Take a $5,000 or $10,000 pay cut, but if you get $50,000 up front, also that being American, there's a 15% tax on your signing bonuses instead of your regular tax bracket. So that's a lot more money in pocket to take that break. But you know, for Calvin not to get that money is just Now they have no ties. They can cut him tomorrow and not owe him a dime.
Which he's clearly aware of.
Yeah.
Jeff Kabilis in Winnipeg writing in. He says, who needs Twitter when we got the Rod Peterson Show gang posting comments? Keep them coming. Please do so. But we're going to pause the CFL discussion for a moment because we are going out on video chat. Wendell Clark joins us today from, I believe, Toronto, Southern Ontario today. Hello, Wendell. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing very well. If you listen close, Wendell, you can hear a big whoop just went up from Wendell Clark's bar, Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, where they're having a big watch party today. Hello to Doyle and the crew there. Have you been there to check out your place in Saskatoon, Wendell? You must have in the last year and a bit.
Oh, I've been there quite a bit. And actually, I wish I was there right now at lunchtime because my wife made me this salad in a bowl. It's not as good as when I'm in Saskatoon.
Well, it is Chicken Taco Tuesday, by the way. That's the special for lunch, Chicken Taco Tuesday. And Wendell, we weren't bringing you on for any breaking news or anything. We just kind of miss you here in your home province and kind of haven't seen you for a while. How are things in the world of Wendell Clark right now?
Well, things are all good. I'm just actually come back. I was up at Yellowknife for Hockey Day in Canada up there for 4 or 5 days. So I'm just starting to thaw out a little bit here in Toronto again. It was a great 4 days up there celebrating our game in minus 40 to minus 20 weather. It was the people are great, and we had a lot of fun with Ron.
You know, when you go to these Hockey Day in Canada things, because you've been to several, what do the kids say? Let's just say specifically Yellowknife, but I mean, what are some of the questions and comments that you get from the kids?
It's great. Once you know the small communities, it's still hockey central. It's like you get the Yellowknife. You're hockey 10 months a year. The lake's frozen until June. So they love the game, and they celebrate the game. And usually the parents have to put the kid into headlock to force them to remember who I was. I've been gone for 20 years. But it's a lot of fun. The communities get together. They have great fun with all the actions going on in town. We get an alumni game going, have some fun. They fill the rink. And really, it's just celebrating our game of hockey and having fun and telling old hockey stories.
You know, frankly, I find that, Wendell, very hard to believe, because when people heard that, people wouldn't know who you were. When people heard you were on the show today, they wanted to come down here to the bunker to get their stuff autographed. And I'm like, no. He's on video. He's in Toronto. So are you able to travel in this country unrecognized? What's it like for Wendell Clark on a day-to-day basis? In Toronto, I can't imagine you could go anywhere still to this date.
No, it's all pretty good. Like I say, I'm getting old and bald now. I don't look like my hockey card anymore. A pound a year is what I've gained, I think, since I finished playing. So I'm rounding into shape. So I'm in that kind of shape right now. But it's a lot of fun. It's a great thing about being able to play hockey in Canada. We can get around and celebrate. And everybody loves the game. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are central to the country, not just Toronto.
I'm sure you do get a lot of questions about the Leafs. By the way, I don't think you look any different than when you were 15 when I watched it at Notre Dame, but maybe that's just me. You know, with the restaurant, by the way, we're there all the time. What made you want to get into the restaurant business? I know you got them across the country, but are you enjoying that, having your name on a restaurant, which, by the way, are fantastic restaurants?
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. It's been, I think, eight or nine years now with starting in Toronto. And really, it's an excuse for me to get out in the community in different areas, even in Ontario where they are in the different towns. And then in Saskatoon, Doyle and Bubba do a heck of a job out there, really running a great ship and having the food awesome and treating everybody very well. And that's always a lot of fun to get out and be around. And it's an excuse to get out and to be next to the fans, too.
We're seeing the comments, Wendell, of Calvington, the love for Calvington and the small town Saskatchewan thing's really cool. But I got to ask you, because I grew up in Wynyard, which isn't that far away. We'd play against Calvington all the time. When's Calvington getting a new arena? Are they due? Because we just got one in Wynyard this past year.
No, our new arena came in. I was bantam. I want to say bantam age is when we got the new arena. So I'd have been 14 when we got our net from the other one that was getting condemned. And I remember driving the tractor in circles, packing the inside of the arena to put the artificial ice in. We didn't get artificial ice till I think I was age 14, 13 or 14. We got artificial ice in Calvington. And it's been hockey ever since. So our arena is in great shape, looking good. A couple banners hanging down there and still a great hockey town.
You know what? I got it. Now, if we're going to go down the road of old times, I got to ask you about Killer Kaminsky. Obviously, they named the rink after him in Churchbridge here this winter. He, Wendell, if you're not following, will probably be the SJHL Coach of the Year with what he's done with the LaRonge Ice Walls. It's been simply spectacular. Your thoughts on your old buddy getting into coaching here in the SJ and having such success?
Well, a great, honest human being, even outside. He's a very upfront guy and probably the toughest pound-per-pound guy that ever played the game at his weight and size, and he had skill on top of all that, and he's been coaching down south, and it's great to see him back in the SJ coaching and doing well there, because he's a very good person, and I think he would teach the kids a lot. He's played at a lot of different levels, understands the age group, and loves to give back. I remember a quick story on Killer. He got called up for the Saskatoon Blades, and in minor hockey, you bring your own pucks on the ice, but in junior, the home team provides the pucks for both teams. And we were playing a game in Prince Albert, and Killer was the first time up. So one of our pucks went down to the Prince Albert end. We said, oh, yeah, we got to go down and collect them. So that's the rookie's job, go down and get the puck. So he skated down into the Prince Albert end with the Dave Mansons and Kenny Baumgartners, and he took a little bit of a beating getting out of there, but he come back with the puck all right.
You know, you're right about what a wonderful human being he is, and he's got so much to offer to those players, but also the SJ. Tarsi Shindelka's watching in Edmonton. He says, what up, Wendell? Do you ever age? Holy hell. So they're loving you out here in the West, Wendell, as you know. By the way, we talk a lot about that documentary this summer that was on TSN. I can't remember the name of it. You'll have to help me. The toughest fastball team ever. What was the name of the show?
Yeah, I can't remember. They did a special on it. All guys were at home at one time there, and we did the special, the toughest guy, this toughest fastball team in Saskatchewan. I think he had to have 200 minutes in penalties just to play on the team.
Were you happy with the way that all turned out? I mean, we all knew that there was no BS in it. It was all true. I think the rest of the world probably couldn't believe that was actually a thing. But were you happy the way that show turned out?
No, we're very happy. It all was great. It was great fun doing the show and seeing it later, bringing the guys. It's kind of new in pro sports today with the athletes, especially in hockey. They don't play any extra sports in case they get hurt. But we all played professional hockey and came home and in summertime came back and played on the Sunday ball tournaments. So there'd be Trent Yanni and Joey Kosher and Barry Melrose and Corey and Joey Kosher. And we had a ton of guys all coming together and have great Sundays playing in different towns throughout the province.
I should ask you a Leafs question. I would ask Darren for his, but do you have something on the Leafs, or can I just basically say, are they going to get their act together here? Did this Kyle Clifford and Jack Campbell, is that what it's going to take, Wendell?
Well, I'm hoping we got to get consistent. We've played well enough, right? We're just in the playoffs now. We have a ton of skill. We're having trouble in the third periods right now. We can play the first 40 minutes. We can't finish it off. So hopefully, if we can get consistent to play consistent the whole game, we're getting closer. Once our goalie Anderson comes back, he's the main guy. He's our best player, and he holds everything together. And that's the thing we got to get back. But we have to the game, as you know, changes a little bit come April, May, and June. We have to be a better, stronger minded team. Play tougher. MO that how they built the team, but that doesn't mean you don't go to the tough areas to score goals or stop goals. And they've had a great run. We've got great skills, so hopefully they can pull it together this year and have a playoff run in April, May, and June.
The SJHL is watching, and they've written in and said, Kevin Kaminsky is a treasure for our province and our league. Thanks as always for the kudos, Rod and Wendell. That's about all I had for you today, Clarkie, unless you got something you'd like to say to your home province and the viewers out here. We just kind of wanted to catch up and see how you're doing.
No, it's great. Great to catch up. This is new. You taught me something new, this video thing. You know, I'm behind in technology. And so to be able to do here, I've heard my head looks even bigger on video on the other end. So I'm hoping you slim. Isn't there a button you put down where you can take a couple chins off my face?
Well, I don't see it. And that's just a Clark thing, man. You should be used to it by now.
And filters.
For the people that are watching at Wendell Clark's, when are we going to see you again? When are you going to be making an appearance there in Saskatoon?
I don't know. I'm usually probably end of the winter I'll be sneaking out. I never really know. I you know, you book your schedule and things come up and that. So I usually sneak in now and again for lunch and hopefully be able to stay longer for dinner. But I'm usually coming and going and slide by Wendell's there on the, when it's right outside the airport. Usually I'm coming through Saskatoon to go to another community, a small town somewhere to do a gig. And so whenever I have time, I stop in because that's where I get fed the best.
I know. Us too. All right, Wendell, thanks for the time. Don't be a stranger. Good seeing you.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Wendell Clark joining us from Toronto today. Joe Lazito wrote in from Long Island. He's watching the show, and he wanted me to ask the question of Wendell, and that is Mike Milbury the worst person he ever played for? I'm not going to ask Wendell that. No, I'm not going to put him in that position. But before we break, I do have to bring this up. Nick, you were watching the show yesterday when Corey Banks just lit up Gary Echeverry for their time together in Winnipeg. Now, if Wendell wanted to offer something like that about Milbury, I would say that, but I'm not going to lead him down the road. Corey Banks went off on Hitch yesterday. You were watching. What did you think about that?
I loved it. You know, there's a lot of times that players and coaches just don't mix. And when you're a veteran, you see through it because you see younger guys go through it sometimes. But then when they try to put you through it, you see through it. And Corey knows the game. Like you said, he had been released from NFL teams. This was his last ditch. He comes to Ottawa. He loves it. Then goes to BC. Then when you go to Winnipeg at the end of your career and to have happen what happened, where they have you basically lying about things, you're like, you know what? Whatever.
Yep.
And you know, because there's a lot of times where somebody might come and say, well, this guy doesn't want you to play, or this guy doesn't want this. I want you to play, but this is the situation right now. And it's a lot of BS. I mean, I dealt with it earlier in my career when I almost got traded to Hamilton.
We can get into more of that, but I'm totally with you. And I get it. When you're younger, you will put up with that stuff. When you're older, you won't.
You won't.
And it's not just for players. Hour one is in the books. Coming up in hour two, more with Nick Lewis. Dupe sticking with us. Henry Burris and Eddie Steele. We've got a lot of breaking news here today, plus some bad news from the CFL, plus some bad news on the Oilers front. That's all coming back in hour two. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Free agency frenzy on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important.
Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.